come back, Tennessee. I gotta find that piece of me. Can I be who I was and still be who I wanna be?
You are listening to River City Current. That is the Mississippi River, the city of Memphis, and current topics from our southern corner of Tennessee. Join your host, Christian Owen, Jeannie Tabor, and Kit Garrett. Today, we are going to consider the source. We have discussed how we've all at some point from our parents, or we've maybe even said it, or a teacher, or any authority figure, they've looked at us and they've said, you know, they say, but who are they referring to when they say they? So this is where this came from. Consider the source. We consider ourselves storytellers on several platforms, and we try to check our sources, confirm our sources. We think everybody should do this on a daily basis. Kind of ties into that sense of community as well, because in Memphis, we have lots of relationships that we depend on. I think it's a really important part of our community. We've discussed that. We've built on that a little bit in past episodes. We don't need to be getting our information and making big decisions about family, health, career, faith, based on a bad source. Of course, we go to social media. What is something that y'all have seen lately on social media that if we weren't keeping ourselves in check and referring to our communities and circles of trust, that makes me think of that movie, Meet the Fockers. But that's not what I'm talking about. We all have circles of trust and checks and balances. Basically, don't check your brain out when you're looking at social media. What are some examples maybe lately y'all have come across?
Absolutely. That I think that's so important to think through is, and I will do it. I've read this, I've heard this. My daughter told me, my neighbor said to do this, and I go out and start changing my routine. So the example, I've told y'all this before, but some 20-year-olds that I was hanging out with were all talking about how much protein they were eating in each meal. And I swear their goal was something like their weight in ounces. They were just high protein. That's what we're doing now. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, so instead of doing what I normally would do, which was just to go out and get another protein powder thing and start adding it to every meal I have, I thought, whoa. Like, what are the consequences of that? Or should we be doing that? So I actually went to the Memphis Nutrition Group and had a one-hour session with an awesome gal there. And turns out our moms and grandmothers were right. That pyramid is important. And having all the colors on your plate is really what we need. We need balance. And I don't know if I'm going to look at my notes, but I took notes on all of the different things. But for example, protein is super important. Yes, it does build muscle mass, which I think is a lot of what these gals are thinking about. And people my age, I'm about to be 60. I need a certain amount of muscle mass to make sure my bones are protected and all that. And protein has a place in our nutrition world for sure, but it actually can't be absorbed fully without carbs. Mm. So you have to have a balance. And so I don't think that's being talked about on TikTok.
Definitely not. And because I feel like the protein thing also came from the rise of weightlifting for women and girls, like everyone is talking about, definitely for 20-something and 30-somethings, like how important it is to be incorporating weightlifting and lifting heavy weights.
Yeah.
And not just doing cardio or not just doing Pilates. And I see the value in switching things up, but I think the protein thing came directly from like, okay, you're going to put all this effort into lifting weights. You're not going to gain any muscle if you don't eat your weight in protein.
Right.
And so those things, it was like, that makes sense because of that. But it's like, wait, where did the weightlifting thing come from?
Right. So you've heard this too.
Oh, totally.
And yes. Am I right? They're absolutely advising some really high number of protein ounces.
Unbelievable.
Per person. And I looked it up.
Yes.
One thing, backing up a tiny bit back to the Memphis Nutrition Group, the thing I loved about what this gal told me is she said, there's no magic bullet. Everybody wants the magic bullet. It's been fat-free before. It's been low-carb before. It's been high-fat. I mean, it's just all the different things now. Right. It's high-protein. There's no magic bullet. Our body requires us to have all of the components. One of them helps with nutrition absorption and vitamin. Anyway, there's a reason for all of that balance in our lives. And I had a point to make.
But with that, I think it's interesting that in the past, like you've mentioned with these, whether it's a diet thing or workout thing, you've just like, okay, I'm going to go to the store and get my protein powder. But what made you this time go to the Memphis Nutrition Group instead?
Well, honestly, because we talked about that as a concept for an article in River City Lifestyle magazine. And I've always been curious just in general, what are we supposed to be doing about nutrition? What should I be hanging my hat on? Because as soon as I say no carbs, I read, we actually need carbs. It's just a matter of picking better ones than worse ones. Yeah. And this nutritionist actually said, don't use good and bad. We don't need your food to be classified as good and bad. Now, no, she works with people with eating disorders and all kind of things like that that we're not necessarily discussing at this point. Right. But she's like, there's no formula there. You do not have to get your weight and all of that down to a certain number. Everybody wants to have metrics for this. And so that's where the high protein came in. Doesn't it feel good, Kit? If you knew I need, you know, 70 ounces of protein per day, and you can check a box and feel darn good about yourself.
Right. And I'm like, oh, okay, perfect. I'm giving my body exactly what it needs. But no, because that is all dependent on, I'm sure, your age, your exercise level, like all of those other factors that you would talk about with someone, a source like the Memphis Nutrition Group, but you're not going to talk about that if you're just seeing that on TikTok or Instagram.
No. So that was a good source. If we're talking about consider the source, she had a intuitive eating is sort of their whole like mindset and listening to your body. And why do you stuff 72 ounces of protein in if you're not hungry or if that doesn't sound good?
Such a good question.
You know, listen to your body. If your body's saying it wants a piece of toast, eat a piece of toast or whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, like there's a reason for the cravings. And so listening to them in a measured way, of course. But like they say with anything, balance of it all.
Right. Like they say.
Yeah. Like they say.
Back to mom and grandma often is the right source.
No. And if we do our job right today, people will say, refer to us as the they.
True. So we better not make any mistakes.
Yeah. Right. Right. We could actually be.
We're that random podcast that people heard stuff
we
on.
We are the random. Yes. But full disclosure, we are not experts. Just want everybody out there to know.
On anything.
I don't think anybody is an expert, right?
No. That's one thing. No. But on health and diet, I'm sure you have followed the advice of either a cookbook or a person or a friend or Instagram or whatever. Do you have any things like that where you've gone like full circle? I'm all in on this, you know, plan.
A child of the 80s. So I think I did some crazy things. And of course, social media wasn't around then, but I kind of felt like picking on social media today. Those ingredients that they say to completely live on or leave out of your diet.
Yeah.
Like keto or something.
I don't know. Eat cotton balls.
Eat
only cabbage. These are literal posts that I have come across.
I think we can definitively say you shouldn't eat something that isn't food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Or just pick one like cabbage and eat the heck out of it. Yeah. Like, no, we need balance.
Yeah. Or what about, I definitely at one point in my life, probably, I don't know, how did we, if before social media, it seems so long ago, somewhere I learned you need lemon juice to cleanse your body.
Yeah.
So I probably drank gallons of lemon juice and had a really bad stomach ache.
Oh my gosh, you're right. There is something about that.
Yeah.
My kids come home, I'm buying lemons and they need it for some reason in their water. I don't remember why, but there's a reason.
Oh, do you know, I mean, Kit? I think that's one of the magic bullet things that people are doing these days. And I don't know when I started doing it. That's a great example.
We've lost track of why we even do it.
And I started doing it, but I have lemon water hot and cold at least twice a day. Like, I don't know why. Like before, like this one thing I saw at one point on social media was, okay, you have to have water before you have coffee. Makes so much sense to me. Like, okay, great. Yeah, I'm dehydrated after sleeping. Coffee is just going to dehydrate me more. And I need that in my body to regulate everything. Is it any of it true? I don't know. But then I started squeezing lemon in it too, because I was like, that's better for me.
It is somehow better.
Like, who knows?
These are actual posts, all right, that y'all, people might not believe this, but these are actual. Have seen these, wrote them down. All right. Drinking apple cider vinegar before meals helps burn fat and suppress your appetite. This is not true. So apple cider, I read a little further on Google, you know, the all-knowing they. Minor health benefits, but drinking it excessively can actually lead to digestive issues, tooth enamel erosion, and low potassium levels.
Well, that's what they say about lemon juice now, too. They're like, actually, it's really bad. It's like disrupting the pH levels in your mouth and your stomach, and it's having an adverse effect to everything you're trying to do. And it's like, okay. So how long until it's the opposite of what we've been doing is having the same impact on social media than the thing we heard 2 months before?
Yeah. Y'all didn't believe me about the cotton balls. Here it is. I had to check my notes. People dip cotton balls in juice or smoothies and eat them to fill up and avoid eating more calories.
Okay, so that sounds like an eating disorder, right?
If you're eating cotton balls,
correct.
It's a flag.
Not only ineffective for weight loss, according to Google, but dangerous. We could have told them that.
Right.
We are the they.
Yeah.
Yes. Common sense, right? Here's one more. Eat nothing but cabbage soup for 7 days. I think I did do the cabbage soup thing at one time.
Did it work?
Promising quick weight loss of up to 10 pounds. I probably was trying to fit into some dress for a party. Anyway, yes, you lose it, but it comes right back.
That's what I was about to say. I remember vividly, so this will date me, but what was the Atkins diet?
Yes.
Remember that? You even know the Atkins diet?
Sure.
Okay, husband Owen was on it religiously, had eked out a loss of 7.2 pounds. We went for dinner and he had a big plate of pasta because that was all there was on the dinner. You know, we were invited somewhere. Gained it all back in one night. And it had been like 6 weeks or longer to try to, I mean,
they're torturing yourself.
Stop eating cabbage soup. Go back to your normal routine. Those pounds are only just going to go back on.
100%. 100%. That's so crazy that those are all legitimate posts. And it's like, yeah, that is what we are bombarded with every single day.
Right.
And it's also a repetition thing, right? So if I see not only one post about apple cider vinegar and having a shot of that in the morning, but I see 10 posts about it and a reel and something on TikTok and it pops up in the newsletter that I get emailed to me. Like, that's why we think it's true, because we're not only seeing it once.
Right.
We're seeing it 10 times.
And talk about the source. Are some of those people celebrities? And are some of those people that we respect, whether we even know that they have credibility in a specific area, we sort of just give them a pass?
We place value on their opinion inherently because they have such a following and a quote unquote influence, or, you know, I think that just don't even get it. We can't even get into like the influencer culture of it all. But, you know, they all regurgitate what each other say, right? And create content about the same thing. So this one fitness influencer is making all this stuff about protein intake. And the next thing you know, everyone is.
Well, and they might be getting some money off of the collagen protein plus powder that I purchased, you know?
Oh my goodness.
Probably
they're all affiliate links. It's all PR. And so they're all getting paid for sure.
So we need to have a healthy dose of skepticism.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think another one that I see constantly, and I think, and this is definitely a social media one too, but not a food and drink one, but with clothes. Obviously, that's a huge thing that we're all being bombarded with constantly on Instagram, of what you should buy and when you should buy it and what brands you should buy it from. Because again, they're all getting paid. So grain of salt with all of that. But the trend recently over the past year or so is building a quote unquote capsule wardrobe. Seasonal dependent, but I feel like it's more fall, winter. And just these people placing this importance on buying and limiting your closet down to 10 to 20 go-to staple items and relying on that and getting creative and building outfits only based on those capsule wardrobe pieces. And so when I look at that or hear that, I'm like, okay, that makes so much sense. That sounds amazing. Simplify our life, throw out half the things in my closet and just have these go-to pieces. I don't have to think that much. Everything goes together. Everything is, quote, timeless and classic and will last. But in reality, I don't know a single person who has a wardrobe like that or a closet like that, right?
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, this is one where I'm like, I see what you're saying. But like even that person telling me to do that, I know they don't have a capsule wardrobe. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because all the stuff that they then continue to sell to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, that's not a reality, but it sounds really good. Yeah, right. And
right.
But then I just end up buying more things to try to do that and not get rid of anything.
Yeah. You have 7 capsule wardrobes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I guess that when considering the source, it's like, okay, you have to consider the source individually, but also how they relate to you. And for that, I'm like, okay, that's just not realistic for me.
Oh, no, exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. I can see the picture of the recent one that I saw this morning, uh-huh. and it had a trench coat in it, and it was fabulous. And I was like, I need a trench coat. I don't have a trench coat in my capsule wardrobe. I don't have a capsule wardrobe. And then I was like, would I actually wear a trench coat?
Literally.
I don't think I'd look good in a trench coat. So I fortunately took it out of the cart. I decarted it.
Wow. That's willpower, Jeannie.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You know.
Yes. And because too, it's like, okay, with some of these like fashion influencers and content creators I follow, they live in New York. And I'm like, okay, that trench coat makes sense for that New York content creator. She's strutting down the street. She's getting to the subway. She wraps it up. Amazing. I'm in Memphis.
Right.
I need that 3 days out of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
You have 3 steps to your car.
Exactly. And it's like, I don't need a full-length coat.
Right.
But.
Yeah. Help me understand more about the capsule wardrobe. Is it for different categories? I think it doesn't take in the account for the variety of life.
Yes.
Would you have one for weekends? Would you have one for career?
That's
would you have
thing.
One for travel?
That's the thing. They want to make you think that your capsule wardrobe is your capsule wardrobe for your life. And so what I'm saying is like, I can see the value in simplifying, but I'm like you, I'm like, well, I have my go-to 10 dresses that I have for these events, or I have my 10 cocktail dresses, or, you know, and so like, it's not realistic in that way because it's like, okay, sure. I have a capsule wardrobe for fall every day, Monday through Friday, fall. Sure. But then, you know, you go on fall break and you're down in wherever you are and that doesn't translate even for a second. And so that's where I'm saying it breaks down so quickly.
Roughly how many pieces are in the ideal capsule wardrobe according to social media?
15 to 20.
What do they exercise in?
Exactly.
There would be one pair of leggings probably.
One pair of black leggings and a black tank top or a white tank top.
What if they play a specialized sport?
Exactly.
No, it breaks down immediately. That's what I'm saying. It's like, this isn't realistic.
I wonder, is this for a group of people, and we know who those people are, but it's not us probably, who don't like to shop. They don't really care about clothing, but they need to look professional. They travel a lot. They need to simplify that aspect of their life, and they don't really care about the diversity and the fun. I care about the fun. I love shopping. I think it would be really boring to have a capsule wardrobe, and I'm going to say no.
I'm putting my foot down on this one.
Yes.
And I think you're so right. It's like, okay, maybe it's for that. I could see it. Honestly, I could see it really working for a man who like it travels maybe for work. And he's like, okay, I always pack these things in my suitcase. Mm-hmm. Like I could see it more for them, but I just need too much variety. But for someone who doesn't crave that variety or creativity coming from dressing, I could see it being nice to have a formula.
Totally agree. Yeah. But my husband would love a formula. Every time I try to buy him something that isn't what he's worn before, he's like, why would I wear this?
How
so he just wants to wear the same things he's always worn for his entire life. So, that works.
Well, I think dressing is a form of expression.
Right.
Wanting that routine capsule wardrobe is an expression of someone's personality.
Yes.
And I don't think that we are the audience of the capsule wardrobe.
Totally. Right? Totally. But but seeing it makes it feel like we all should be living this way.
And do we feel guilty now having this closet full of options and things like that?
I do feel a little guilty for saying what I just said.
It makes us feel that way.
Yeah. You shouldn't. You shouldn't, because you're the majority.
Well, all right. Social media, again, how about the career advice? I literally saw all those tests that they want you to take. I know so many of them are helpful, the career test.
Yeah.
What's the one you keep telling me I need to take?
Oh, Enneagram.
Yes, yes.
That's not career. That's just life.
That's just life.
No, I did Myers-Briggs back in the day.
Oh, for sure.
But you're so influenced by your surroundings. I was in investment banking. We all did the data-oriented, analytical, thinking, not feeling option.
Uh-huh.
Sitting in this room, I'd totally do it differently. But I'm sorry.
No, that's so true.
Well, I don't think that, if y'all remember, we traveled together last year. And as part of our outing, we had a personality test. Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that personality test was called. My results were very strange, and y'all's were too. But like you said, we were in a hurry, distracted, doing other things.
Sure.
I do think your surroundings, but so many of them pop up on social media. Take mm-hmm. this test and then your life will be defined. or choosing your career based on your horoscope.
Good Lord.
Yikes.
I mean, or anything that sounds too good to be true probably is. I mean, that's been around forever. They have always said that.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And now we're going to repeat it.
Yes. But do y'all think there is a significant number of people who believe all these things and follow all these things, this advice? I mean, do we have an entire world of people who are being led by all this bad advice? I read 7 hours a day. That's about what people spend, maybe not just on social media, but looking at some sort of screen or taking in information from these types of sources.
I mean, we were not built to, number one, take in that much information a day, and number two, have access to that many people's opinions about what we do and who we are.
Yeah.
Like, we were built to be in a community of people we interact with in person, right? Like, anything that happens online and on a screen, it's just like such a exaggeration of the community we were meant to live within. So it's like, I mean, that just creates so much fatigue in so many ways, because it's like, wait, you cannot even begin to process. And I think that also impacts like what we remember, because we all of our attention spans are so much shorter now because of that too. And so it's like, I'm remembering this random thing I saw on Instagram about this personality tests I need to take, but then I don't remember what I did yesterday.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know what I think is so hard also is verifying sources, which are the sources that are actually research-based, and they can confuse you. Like when I was trying to debunk this whole protein thing.
Yeah.
So I'm looking on Google to try to debunk another thing I saw on the computer. So it's all really difficult to go back in. And as an aside, they want you to now pay for Wikipedia. Did you see that?
Yeah.
No.
Wikipedia is no longer free. Isn't that interesting? And I've always wondered about that. You and I could be Wikipedia source providers. And I don't know really what all you have to do to become a source provider for Wikipedia, but I think it's probably a low bar, right?
And like you can edit Wikipedia. Like I could get in there and edit any page I wanted to.
Isn't that
nuts? It happens all the time with like celebrity profiles. Like people will go in and be like, no, they weigh X and like change details.
Mm.
But yeah, it's like, and like we mentioned earlier too, the source that you thought was reliable one day, in 2 months on social media, they could be canceled, they could be gone, they could be totally disavowed, whatever.
Yeah. And a lot of them were OpenAI. And I've been reading recently that there have been some issues with the sourcing of the OpenAI. There was a whole crew in, I want to say, India Elon Musk, I believe, or someone like that, who was paying these people a minuscule amount per hour to churn data, research, and all that to support all of these things we're Googling and asking questions about.
Right.
And they were off grid. They did it wrong. They weren't speaking the language correctly. Whatever it was, they had to kind of get rid of that. But who unearthed that there was a problem with that? you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And now because too, all the AI integrations that we have, like with Google, what's the AI assistant on Google? Genesis or what's her name?
Meta.
No. You know how when you Google something, now they'll have an AI summary at the top?
Yes, yes.
So helpful in my opinion. However, sometimes it can be really wrong and they're still like working out the bugs of that. But now, like even Googling, you're having to factor in the possible error of this AI summary that's taking from your Google. It's like distilled down so many times.
Right.
It's like, at what point do we get to the right source?
And then if you go to something like Google Scholar and it points you to expert, you know, industry journals and such, depending on the topic for that category, you can't have access unless you are affiliated with a university. I, having done some graduate school in the past, actually did that instead of Mother's Day out. I feel like just go take graduate classes. I would always have access to all of this information that was as accurate as you can probably get as far as fact checking and all that.
Right.
But once you're not affiliated with the university, I don't even think you can pay to have access to some of these.
Okay, so that seems crazy, does it not? Like, why would those people not want other people in the country to be well-educated and have the actual researched information? That needs to be widely available.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I didn't even realize that was a thing. But now I can't access it anyway. So
I've had this conversation with like retired professor about, can't use all of the sources that they used to use anymore. Maybe they're working on a book. But you have to be affiliated with the university. Mm. Or maybe a big company, but I'm sure it all comes down to who's paying for it.
Right.
But all I can come up with is to check anything that you learn in at least three places. That's always been my goal. But what are those three places?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is they one of the three?
Right.
I'm teasing. Right. But I don't know. Experts, of course, like you went to an expert about the nutrition questions.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
would you maybe talk to a professional stylist or maybe somebody?
I think that's just, that's just personal. It's like, okay, that's just not going to work. And I feel like a lot like the cotton ball thing. It's like, let's be real here, people. Come on.
It is a common sense thing.
It is. Yeah. So I'm having this moment of thinking, I don't know if this appeals to y'all, but every now and then I think, okay, our world is absolutely going to hell in a handbasket.
Sure.
And someone will say, no, back in the 1960s, there were all these protests going on and there was violence happening and the Middle East was doing this and the inflation was here. Our journalists are just telling us that we're in a terrible spot. I'm remembering being in college and learning about bias as it related to journalism. And this is not a brand new thing. Now it has gone like everything with Instagram. It now reaches people quicker and in a more powerful manner, perhaps. But it is kind of comforting to me to realize that this is an issue we've always had to deal with. You always have to take the source and understand what is behind that source and are there biases and are there affiliations that would make them lead in a direction or another.
Right. But now the main difference is, like Christian mentioned, we're spending 7 or 8 hours with the source face to face every day.
Or what we think is the source.
Exactly.
So
it's
many people
like,
think that's the source.
Right. So then it's like, okay, it just makes it feel closer and more impending and
easier. You know, we used to have to dig a little deeper to do research. Now, students don't really have to do that. As students, when we were students, we did. It took you to actually go to the library and and do the research.
Know the Dewey Decimal System.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think all this social media, it kind of deserves the side eye that we're giving it. And everybody needs to proceed with caution. So that's the message of today. And we want to continue with our source, consider the source concept to be continued. Thank you for joining us, but don't rush off. Enjoy our featured song by native Memphian Sherman Tabor. The song is Comeback Carolina,
and he mentions our home state of Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee, I gotta see you. You know it's been too long. I've been dancing to my own song. You know I used to just sing along. But the river runs through you and me. Muddy water might just wash a man clean. All the masking is why can't I be everything? Oh, come back, Tennessee, I gotta find that piece of me. Can I be who I was and still be who I wanna be?